This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, so it's not actually James Acaster, it's Rob Deering in for James Acaster on FUBAR Radio. And I've got Lloyd Griffith with me this afternoon. But before I meet his wonders, I'd like to play you something straight off my iPod. And that is, are you ready? This. The Fly by U2. That's a U2 record that I bought deliberately, as opposed to that one that they put on everyone's iPod without them asking, which I think there are still people around the world now going, I like the Cocteau Twins. But I like The Fly. I think that's an excellent record. I'm joined by Lloyd Griffith.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Thank you very much for having me on this lovely Sunday. I don't want to be outside in the sun.
No, you don't want to be out there and that makes you sweat.
Cold studio.
Yeah. Girl, I want to make you sweat.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing. I was just going to say the words to that song, and that's the whole point. You don't say the words without singing it.
No.
Boris Gardner, is it?
I don't know.
I don't know, it was quite a nice song. It's all very sweet, but the words are, girl, I want to make you sweat. I'm not going to, I can't quote them. I can't bring myself to do it. It's not right.
I mean, if I'm honest, mate, I've got no idea what you're on about.
Well, let's pretend it never happened.
Okie dokie.
Sweat till you can't take no more. And, well, you know, I'm not
going to.
Oh,
that one.
Yeah,
oh, no,
you know,
I do know that one.
Never mind Boris Gardner. We're here to find out. Just to clarify, if you're suddenly listening for you know, newly off the back of nothing, you don't know what the hell's happening here. This is James Acaster's iPod Shuffle, and I'm instead of him. Lloyd is my guest, and we're going to take it in turns to play songs off our iPods. Other shuffling digital devices are available, and then we'll see what songs come up, and we'll see where that leads us. So I'm quite excited to see what Lloyd's got. I was quite pleased that, you know, it's one of the U2 songs I really like.
Yeah,
it shook my world when I liked that because I hated them at the time.
I'm not really a U2 fan.
I wasn't.
Obviously, I like the Big Uns that we all know, but I don't really.
Everyone loves Big Uns.
Big Uns, but I don't really. Yeah, no.
No, well, I'm the same. I mean, at the time, as a teenager, like when the Joshua Tree was out, it was like an article of faith.
Yeah, I'm quite young, mate, so I don't
remember. Yeah,
that.
Well, suffer, you know. I'm 42 and you're going to be chewing on that all afternoon.
not too. I'm only 31.
So you're in your fourth decade now.
Yeah, I think you're in your 40s.
I nearly did, but okay. It would have been harsh if it had been true.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that.
That's just a common thing now.
I think that'll come up because you are over a decade younger than me, and that's interesting.
Yeah, I think so. But I think because I'd like to think that I'm quite musically orientated, but I know that you are. So when I'm with my friends, I'm like, yeah, I'm a bit of a muso. But then when I meet you, I'm like, not in comparison.
Yeah, but I'm not hip. I'm like just like a pub quiz kind of guy.
Yeah. But I'd like to think I'm hip, but then also at the opposite end of the spectrum, very geeky when it comes to other types of music. So.
Do you think there's anyone who doesn't like to think they're hip?
Oh yeah, there are people that I think go anti-hip.
They're just trying to be cool.
They're anti-hip.
Amazing now that people can be nerds and go, "See, I'm just a nerd," and you can see that they spent ages choosing their tank top.
Yeah,
and
perfecting that, mate.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. You did not wake up.
Everybody's cool, and no one is.
Yeah. Usually in East London. Or Manchester, I've realised recently.
Yeah, that's right.
Very cool in Manchester they are, with all their beards and...
Yeah, and the beard thing is great, but I can't grow them, so I'm always very threatened by that.
I can grow a beard.
I can see that.
I grew this morning.
Yeah, that's good, you did one especially.
For the listeners, it's
a beard good. This afternoon.
It's about a semitator? I mean, that's not
a word. It seems to be a semitator.
It's a semitator.
You mean you look halfway to looking like a potato?
Yeah, semitator, and very good with semaphore.
Oh, I don't want to see any semaphore because I haven't seen the first semi-3.
Okay.
Yeah, cooking. Already cooking. Okay, are you ready to play me something on your...
So what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just pick anything I want? Or should I just randomly...
No, don't choose. It's got a random. It's got to be randomly generated. Press play.
Just press play. Okay, I'm going to press...
He's cheating. I can see you cheating. Oh, here comes something.
Oh, this is quite a nice... I flicked it.
Wait, is this Tears for Fears?
No, it's not.
Oh...
One of my favourite beginnings to any song in the world.
It's Oasis, isn't it?
Correct, Rob Deering.
Wonderful.
10 points.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Love that song.
So that is... That is
that I comes thought, between a couple of the actual songs.
It does, yeah. So, what's the story of Morning Glory? Yeah. And that is, I think it's called Swamp Song, and that comes in between just before Champagne Supernova.
Yeah. I thought we could have cheated and let it go into Champagne Supernova. We would be cheating.
No, but it's on
we?
Shuffle because it wouldn't.
It wouldn't have played it. Well, give me back the lead then. Do you know, I quite like that. And I mean, people, I love Oasis, and What's the Story of Morning Glory is an excellent album. And I think they were so kind of fresh when they came along. It's actually quite impressive that their second album was so good,
yeah.
As opposed to them getting a bit dull after that.
Yeah.
But I never liked that Sound of Water.
Oh, I loved it.
Rowing type business.
Loved it.
Oh, it makes you feel queasy.
That album was one of the first albums I bought on a CD. So I can't remember what year.
So
that
you are quite old.
Yeah. Well, no. but that was like one of the first CDs that I bought. That and Cooler Shaker K. But What's the Story, Morning Glory? I had that, and it's still one of my favourite albums to date.
It's a good album.
Yeah.
When they played Finsbury Park, I lived near there, and I could hear it. We could hear it in our house, and it was very exciting.
Yeah.
I think I was actually more excited listening to it down by the garages,
really?
Than I would have been, you know, if I'd actually been at the gig. Should we see what I've got next?
Yeah. Are we taking this in turns? You now doing one?
Oh, yeah, it's my go now. Hopefully mine will be a song.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to Noel Gallagher in the distance.
A 33-second intro.
Doing something, you know, cynical and pretty much wasting all our time. Let's see. I've got no idea what this is going to be. Quite exciting. Here we go. Forever by Bon Iver from Forever, Forever Ago. Or actually, no, have I got that the wrong way around? Anyway, it's Forever from Forever. It's a breakup album. You know the album, don't you?
I do know the album, yeah.
Nothing like a good breakup album.
I've never really had a breakup album.
Really?
Yeah.
What about By Other People, like the Fairground Attraction, First of a Million Kisses? That's a good breakup album.
No, but only like if I don't.
Well, have you listened to other people's breakup albums while you've been happily in a really boring relationship?
No,
I have.
Who's got a what's a breakup album?
It's when you are in a relationship,
yeah.
And you're also a recording artist, and then you split up,
right? Got
and
you.
Then you make an album which is absolutely excellent.
Got you. No,
Phil Collins did it, for goodness sake.
Really?
Take a look at him now. It's just an empty space.
I'm trying to think of the next lines that were a song, but my brain didn't.
And you coming back to me is against all odds, and that's what I've got to face.
Doo-doom, 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 doo-doom.
Ooh, careful, because I can feel you coming in the air tonight. Ooh.
I'm an Englishman in New York. I'm stinging it.
Yeah, it really does lead to good albums. And good albums, like we were saying, while that song was playing, we were talking about the music. Yeah, that's right, because we really live this. And we were saying how a good album, you know, you slightly lose the art in the day of Shuffle and Spotify and all that stuff. You lose the art of an album that starts with a good opener and a single and then all that business.
And I think, like, going back to the Oasis earlier on, I remember the first time I played it was on my Auntie Irene, Auntie Binny's dinner table, because I got a CD player, and I remember playing What's the Story, Morning Glory, beginning to end. I remember that first time. And it's a bit like a book, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You can remember every song, which order.
And you know what's coming next.
You know what's coming next.
And your whole life now, if you hear one of those songs, like I have this with basically Cure albums. And if you hear a song, you can hear the opening notes of the next song time forever.
And you can, yeah, so I like that. And then and Bon Iver, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you what the next song is on that album, but that was a lovely album. I was singing professionally. I'm not sure if the listeners know Rob, but I'm also a choir boy as well as a comedian. I don't like to bang on about it too much.
Yeah, but you keep that on the choir. Imagine it's spelled CHOIR-T.
No, I'm not giving you that because you used that with Vicky Stone on Twitter this
week.
Well,
I thought it was good. I thought it dusted off.
It was good, but I don't mean you using that as if it was off the cuff, okay? Use that with Vicky Stone on Wednesday.
And it was better written down as well. Forget it. We'll scratch it from the record. I'll talk to the stenographer.
I told a joke on stage at a New Material night, and I was about to bring Hal Crutton on, and I said I was on a train the other day, and I was just writing some new stuff, and all of a sudden this bass started singing, then a tenor, then an alto and soprano joined them, and I started singing four part harmony. And then I realised I was on the choir coach. And no one laughed. And then Hal Crutton came on and said, "That was genuinely one of the worst jokes I've ever heard." And I was really chuffed that he had such a, you know, an opinion on it.
Yeah, It's a shame that it was such a negative opinion.
Yeah. But I mean, I'd still rip the room until then, just decided to bring the headline act on. Yeah. To
but it's a nice
joke.
Change to just do that with a bad joke. It's amazing how often a compere will bring you on to something just really offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You come with something. I do not very often, but every now and again I'll get to the mic and kind of have to point out to the compere what they've just been talking about.
There's a certain.
Did you plan to do your rimming material just the second before I hit the.
There's a certain promoter that is based not a million miles away from here, and every time you bring someone on, you are essentially getting the dustpan and brush up and just collecting the pieces of the shit that he's just thrown at all the audience, and you're going, okay, I'll just tidy this up. Anyway, here are my jokes.
Yeah, yeah, we'll fix this. Let's spend a few minutes rebuilding this, and but it's a fun challenge.
But sorry, so Bon Iver, for Emma, I remember listening to that whilst on a bus going from Ålesund in Norway to, I think,
Norge.
Somewhere else in Norway where I can't remember. But it was one of the most beautiful bus rides I've ever had. And I remember listening to this, and it was just one of those picturesque, I'm having a good time here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a really good time.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
I think like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 2009. Yeah.
Moving 2010. Albums, journeys. I took a train through France listening to Eden by Everything But the Girl once.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh.
When was that? Don't tell me. 97.
No, much longer ago. We're getting onto my extreme age again. No, forget that. Okay, so are you ready? Have you got your next?
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
plug in.
Just going to plug it in. Going to use my fingerprint to. And I'm going to press play now. Are you ready?
Yeah, ready. This is Lloyd's next choice. I Don't Owe You Anything by the Smiths from their eponymous first album, which is. Second rate compared to Hatful of Hollow, but that song's great.
It's a lovely song, isn't it?
Beautiful. I have actually, I don't want to over Smiths the whole atmosphere and kind of, it's a bit Smiths cubed.
Yeah.
But that was the song that I used to stand listening to on my cassette Walkman, probably with little foamy orange headphone pads, when I was doing my GCSEs.
Wow.
And I can remember standing in the trees just by the music rooms in the snow, listening to that and going, because I'd asked someone out, she said no.
Oh, mate, that sounds like a real kind of like British independent film. That's right.
It's kind of pitiful, and you know that sounds like a pitiful kind of half hour, but I reckon that's about 2 years we're talking about there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you a Smiths fan?
Yes, very much so. In fact, because I grew up on The Cure and the Smiths, and The Cure thing, I feel a bit of, I look back at it now and shudder and think, oh, I'm not comfortable with that whole business. But the Smiths, I still love. I always find something good in them every year, and, you know.
How old were you when the Smiths were out? And this isn't an age thing, again, I was wondering, because I didn't actually get into the Smiths until about 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago.
I got into them, I was aware of them live, as it happened, because my brother was into them. I remember seeing Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now and Talk the Pops and stuff. But I really got into them as they split up.
Really?
And you know, they made Strangers Here We Come and split up, and they did a South Bank show. And then I was listening to them and I was like, I can't believe they split up because I've just really got into them just right now. Yeah. And I was, as a teenager, and that kind of teenager, you know, it was all about me.
So I knew about Morrissey, because obviously when... Yeah, I didn't realise that Morrissey was the lead singer of the Smiths until I did a bit of research. I was like, oh, that's why they sound quite similar to those bands.
Yeah.
And then got into it after that. And then since then, I've been quite addicted to listening to the Smiths and Morrissey.
What's your favourite Smiths song?
So, I don't know. It's... I kind of thought I had a favourite one until I saw a cover of one from not even a good singer, just something on YouTube. Oh my god, I'm having a brain.
Go on, what is it? Come on.
Oh mother, I can feel the soil falling over my head. Do do
do do. Oh, what a song.
What is that song?
It's
I Know It's Over.
I Know It's Over.
So I Know It's Over is probably one of my...
It's so easy. Oh, that's great. If you're so funny, then why are you on your own tonight? If you're so clever, then why are you on your own tonight? If you're so very good looking, then why are you on your own tonight? I know, because tonight's just like any other night. Your triumphs and your charms are in each other's arms. That's poetry.
It is poetry, and that's the thing. But I... So I really wanted to get into Morrissey, and I've got a few T-shirts, I mean, because I'm quite cool.
Yeah, you certainly are.
I bought his autobiography.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, my sister bought the autobiography for her birthday. One of the hardest things I've ever tried to get my eyes onto is have you read it?
Yeah, I've got it and I haven't touched it. Well, I've got to tell you, he is...
Touch it.
he's weighing on his own legacy. I've got to say, it would be so brilliant if he'd just gone into hiding just after the Smiths.
Yeah, but like, I quite like him. I quite like him, and I quite like when Russell Brand used to do the interviews with him. Loved all that.
Yep.
And interviews with him, but frankly, Mr. Shankly, that autobiography was. It's like it's prose. It's prose. There's no chapters.
Yeah.
Barely bloody sentences, and I got annoyed after like the fourth page, and yes. I haven't touched it since. I'll go back to it.
Well,
one day.
Let's have a race.
Well, yeah, no.
Me and you got to finish that book.
I'm not going to. No.
How much money? We should have a bet.
It's so big as well.
Oh, it's a big fat book.
I'm reading something else at the moment.
Both those last two songs were a bit sad, and I've just seen what's coming next, and it's nice. You enjoyed it. It's a bit of a change of pace. This is off my phone, and it's pretty classic. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to play it, and then you'll hear it. Here it is. Aha! With the Living Daylights theme. That was actually Aha and John Barry. And John Barry hated doing that with Aha. They really had major artistic differences. And that was the end, the acrimonious end, of John Barry's long-term relationship with the James Bond franchise.
Lead singer of Aha. Know his name?
Morton Harkett.
I've met him, mate.
Nice.
I have, yeah.
Is he still wearing those wristbands?
I didn't look at his wrists, so I was too busy looking at his face. Very good-looking man.
Yeah. Was he, when you met him, was he completely corporeal, or was he still a black-and-white cartoon?
He was on the verge. He was on his motorbike.
Yeah, and did he come through a little window?
Yeah. And he was, like, saying, I'm looking for a team. And I was like, what? He goes, I'm looking for a new team. I was like, take me on. take on.
That's a shame. If you said take on me, then that would have been great, because that's the title of one of their most famous songs.
Oh, yeah. No.
But you said take me on.
Yeah. No, because right. I don't think take on me. That doesn't sound. You wouldn't say that. But go take on. Take
yeah, but he's,
me
he's,
on.
He's Norwegian.
But the next one is take me on. But lovely guy. We didn't really get. We didn't have that much in common, to be fair.
Where and when did you meet him, and why?
Funny story that actually. Thanks for asking, Rob. Westfield, 2009 or 2010.
Yeah.
I was hosting a summer series called Westfield Shimmer, where they had a number of stars. They had Chipmunk, who was a bit of an idiot.
VV, he sounds really cool.
VV Brown. I went, hello, mate, I'm the MC. He goes, mate, you're not an MC. I was like, no. Oh, as in, like, I'm Master of Ceremonies. I'm not going to be spitting rhymes. Anything like that. And I went, what introduction do you want? He goes, just anything, mate. I went, okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, Chipmunk. No, mention, like, the Mobos and stuff. I was like, I mean...
Yeah.
Tell me what you want, then.
And you
then
were supposed to know
we just didn't get
was.
On that well. But then his hype man was Wretch32, who has done very well for himself. Mm-hmm. So he was very nice. Wretch32 was very nice.
VV Brown, she was good.
I thought she was brilliant. And then I think she went to America. She starred in the M&S women's clothes adverts, went to America. Haven't heard of her since.
So this is not just any career tail off. This is an M&S career tail off.
But she was lovely. And she was a really nice girl. And we had a little bit of fun.
She was great.
And she has to be fashion advice, like, is my skirt too short or should I put leggings on? And like, she lifted her, like, she went to, like, put her arms up in
and
the air,
saw her lunch.
And I could see her pants. I was like, I can see your VV Brown. And she laughed, and we got on quite well. And then they had who else did they have? I think that was about it. Anyone that you can remember, but Aha and Aha, of all of those people, Chipmunk got, say, like 1,000 people, 1,500. Aha was heaving. I'm
of
talking
course.
Like, 3,000 people there on all layers, and it was like the biggest amount of security.
Yeah.
And we were getting dressed in what is now All Saints, the shop. Not
well, at least
band.
You had a lot of sewing machines handy.
Yeah, it was good, yeah. A lot of brothers.
And so you saw a lot of singers that day.
Oh, I just said brothers, but they're typewriters, aren't they?
Take me on, I've got a brother. Well, you've almost done some jokes.
Yeah, I know, almost. It's like you're doing a comedy gig.
Hey, I'm going to go all radio on you. I just want to say, if you've just tuned in, I'm Rob Deering, in for James Acaster, and that talking right then, that was my guest Lloyd Griffith, and this is a sting. Oh, I thought it was being so cool.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Check it out.
Where is James Acaster? I thought he's back, isn't he?
Yeah, but I abducted him.
Oh, to get the gig.
Yeah. I wanted to come down and hear what records you've got, so I bound him and stuck him in a cupboard.
So I'm getting quite scared that the next song will be a weird little choral thing.
And nothing could be better than that 30 seconds of Oasis in the Distance. Come on, let's hear it. Let's see what you got.
I've got something here, and I'm going to press. I'm going to press next and then play. You ready?
Good.
Okay, so. Now, this is a very good song.
Oh, that was Joe Goddard with Gabriel, featuring Valentina, I believe. And I really like that.
It's a great song, isn't it?
Yeah, good record.
So I listen to Radio 1 because I'm still clinging on for dear life that I am still a kid.
31? Radio 1.
I am 29 and 9/4, mate. I listen to FUBAR and Radio 1. To see the producer go, well done,
nice
Lloyd.
One.
Well
done. They really need the support. Thanks very much. Talking to the producer, by the way, James Acaster is in Kettering at a family event.
Oh, is he?
And you know, it's Kettering and James, they go together.
Like, K and an E and a T and a T, E and an R and an I and G, T and a down, T and an O and a W. And
actually, Either he's at a family event in Kettering or he's gone to a family event to do the catering.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, it's one of those two things.
Because he has a sideline, doesn't he?
He has a sideline, and it's very confusing.
He's got a Meals on Wheels van, hasn't he? And it's called Acaster's Arancini Balls. And he deals only in arancini. Because he's got a supplier in Italy to get quite cheap couscous. Not couscous, risotto from couscous. Yeah. Acaster's Arancini Balls are AAB, it says on the side of the van. Very good. I've had them. The ones he uses with truffle oil are to die for.
simply to die for.
He does mushroom and arancini balls. The garlic mayo he serves them as well is quite possibly.
I tell you, once I was going to tuck into an arancini ball and turned out Scotch egg.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Nightmare. There's no way of knowing, you know. I mean, if it's not labelled up.
Hey, I'm a pescatarian now.
Yeah, it's a real hassle. Really? Do you mean you've given up meat or you've started eating fish?
I've given up meat.
Okay.
So I gave up meat on the 4th of February. And
How's it going for you?
I mean, I've eaten more cheese than I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, well, the difficult thing, the good bad thing of being a lactose happy vegetarian is that you're allowed to eat a fair amount of cheese because you need the protein.
You need the protein. I'm not sure if you're allowed to do plugs on this. And I've got no vested interest. I went to an arancini place. Can I get a nod? I went to a place yesterday.
It wasn't in Westfield, was it? Because there's one in Westfield. You're all over Westfield. They've got they got arancini.
Kentish Town.
Yeah.
Or actually, Kentish Town, in between Kentish Town and Camden, it's a place called Arancini Brothers. And they do quite possibly the greatest arancini I've ever had.
Are they the plumbers? There's two plumbers, very exciting. There's a short, fat one and a thin one.
Oh, I think they're the Mario Brothers.
That's right, they're the Mario Brothers. Yeah.
No.
That joke was
But
racist.
If you want to give them a plug.
Well, they've already got one.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're cooking.
Arancini balls, they're great. And then Joe Goddard, I listened to that. Annie Mac played it. And I was smitten the moment she played that song, Gabriel. It's a good song. It's a nice stomping bass line as well.
Yeah, fat beats. Fat beats with a pH.
Yeah.
We like that. We enjoyed that a lot.
Love it.
Which is good. It's made us sad. And it was nice not to be, you know, basically looking over my 16-year-old shoulder watching me moaning about, etc. So, but we're back to my phone now, so we might find that it's something.
How many songs have you got on your phone?
I don't know. I've got thousands and thousands in my iTunes, but this is a selection of
on my phone. Can I say, I've only got 574 select, but on my
iPhone. Oh, no, the show finishes at 6.
All right, okay. Well, let's see how many we get. So 5 seconds from each one. Still not enough, is it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You do the math.
I've done it.
Here we go. This is what I've got coming next. Bit of Chemical Brothers.
We just heard what your next song was.
Yeah, that's a giveaway, isn't it? What a giveaway.
Oh,
it's because I didn't want to get rid of the wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wahs.
Do you know what I miss? Sorry, I know we're going to talk about that song. I do miss a good pub quiz where they have an intros round.
Oh, yeah.
I love
it. Oh, yeah, they do that down in the Rose and Crown, Stoke Newington. Yeah, that's a really good round.
I love that round.
Really good.
I'd like to think I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah. Well, you like a pop quiz, don't you?
I reckon if you and I teamed up to do a pop quiz, I think we'd do pretty well.
Pop or pub?
Pop.
What's your... If you were in a pub quiz and it was other subjects, what subjects are you good at or bad at?
Cathedrals.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a round I've heard come up week in, week out.
Well, no, but you're joking. One day at a pub somewhere, they're going to have a cathedral round and I'm going to absolutely boss it.
Or
Grimsby Town Football Club round.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Grimsby Town Football Club, cathedrals, the life and works of Thomas Tallis, and I mean, that's probably it.
That's good. Sounds like a fun night.
Cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're my hot topics.
I'm hot on a lot of... I'm not as hot on history as I'd like to be, but I've got a good working knowledge.
Yeah.
And I'm weak on sport. But I'm a good person to have in your pub quiz team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've been on all sorts, haven't you, mate?
I've got the chops. I've got quiz chops.
Weakest link.
Yeah.
15 to 1.
Yeah. Mastermind.
Mastermind. Mastermind. Oh, yeah. So she probably mentioned that first.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever been on Egghead's Celebrity Special?
Not yet. I did the marathon with CJ, though. I was going to go and say hello to CJ, you know, the egghead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was, you know, there was a sort of, you know, celebrities. Yeah, that's right. Celebrities running the marathon tent. And everyone was quite approachable. You know, yeah. I chatted briefly to Jensen Button. He was with Chris Evans. I don't know them. CJ off Eggheads. No.
Nothing.
He looked like one of the scary droids in the sand crawler at the beginning of Star Wars. He was kind of sitting and just there. I suppose, to be fair, he might have been worried about the prospect of running 26 miles.
I played football with, what's his name? From The Chase.
Oh, first chipmunk, now this.
I know, I'm pretty...
It was my name drop, and you're going to chump it.
What's his name? The black guy from The Chase.
Oh, from The Chase?
Yeah. Shane? No, Sean. Sean? Sean?
If you think I'm going to help you, you know... No, I don't know. I only know Paul Sinner. I don't know who the others are.
Oh, lovely bloke.
Love The
Played
Chase.
Football with him last year.
Good guy.
And Soccer Sixes, celebrity.
Well, I think all those chasers on The Chase are really nice, and then they have to kind of pretend to be evil. Like Anne Robinson.
What's his name? That's going to annoy me.
Now, can I just talk about that song a minute?
Yeah, yeah, go.
Because that was great. And this weekend, I've been on and in, and I'll be back tonight in Brighton at the Comedia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love going to Brighton because as a town, it kind of sums up my thing of being like, you know, kind of oi, oi, in the 90s. And then now being quite sort of, you know. Basically, I've been, all weekend, I've been juxtaposing raving in the past.
Suppressing your raving.
Recycling in the modern age. And Brighton's home of that. So that was wonderful. Because that's what I do now, is I used to dance to those songs, and now I run to them. Although I was dancing then, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were. You were dancing, and you did a little drop.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just trying to think of a joke about putting your recycling, like going, oh, it'll be the blue one, the brown one, what? Big fish, little fish, cardboard box.
Yeah, good.
Going in food, and then...
Yeah, yeah, pescatarian, and we're going to flatten that and put it in the green bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my big fish, little fish, and cardboard box are now in self-storage. And as you know, that is a line from myself.
It's a line from yourself.
I know, just trying to... But let's talk. It keeps coming up. I'm trying not to be a run bore, but, right, 2 weeks ago today, London Marathon.
Yeah.
Did it. Had a great time. Got a good time.
What was your time?
Could have got a better time. My time was 3 hours, 19 minutes and 18 seconds.
Well done.
But my music player broke.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw you do your
10 miles in. So I did the last more than 16 miles.
Oh, that is awful.
Without
mate.
Music. And also I thought, oh, I'm really tired. I'm not going that well. But at the end, I realised I was. You know, I was going fast. I could have, if that song had played to me at like 18 miles, I'd have come in like a rocket. That's what I was missing. I needed someone to drop a little bit of Chemical Brothers, Prodigy. Fatboy Slim would have done it.
Yeah.
You know.
And were they all on your playlists?
Always.
Bloody
Katy Perry's Firework. Baby, you're a firework. Boom, 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 even brighter than the moon. I'd have voted a second. I'd have won it. I'd have beaten Paula.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
Paula Radcliffe, incredible world record that she still holds from that incredible marathon time. And that's always what people remember her for, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 definitely. Not the...
other thing.
Dancing in the street. I've got a 10K coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, where?
London. Booper London 10K. I have not done a 10K before, nor have I really done any training. Like, I think I'm quite fit. I ran 5K the other day just for a bit of fun, and that was quite easy.
Well, that's a good distance to be doing then. If you can do your 5K, you can do your 10K.
I mean, you suffer, but
it'll be good.
I'll be able to do 10K, that's no problem. But I've got a half marathon in September, the Great North Run.
You need to train more for that.
So I need to train more for that, but...
Also, the Great North Run has a weird thing where it's slightly uphill all the way.
Yeah, which is annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, I resented that on the day when I did it.
Yeah, so I'm going to... So I need to start doing...
A Great North Run's fantastic, though. It's a superb, like, atmosphere and stuff. But yeah, you should practice.
Yeah, no, I will do.
Well, if you ever want to go for a run.
Yeah, I will do. But you live up here, don't you? And I live down there, so I'm not going to meet in the middle, because then we're just going to say, hello, you all right? Yep, yeah, okay, bye.
Or we could take a car. What the hell was that? That was exciting, wasn't it?
That was a bus.
Oh.
Which is like a car, but larger.
Yeah, you're not allowed to use those on the day.
No.
And they close all the roads.
Yeah. But yeah, so
I'm going to go to Berlin and do the Berlin Marathon. I think that will go well, unless I hit the wall.
Is that a joke?
Yeah, that was a joke. Oh, you can talk after Take Me On.
No. I was like, oh, well, I was about to go, well done, mate. No, you should do all the marathons.
No, it is true.
You are doing the marathon. Okay. I don't know what's true and what's not.
It was
Rob.
A joke about the truth.
It's funny because it's true. I can't handle the truth. I went to Berlin the other week and just got drunk.
Take my breath away. I've never been to Berlin, and you know, going this running thing is big for me, and Jason Bourne is very big for me. Yeah. And he goes to Berlin, the Bourne Supremacy.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like a salmon going back upstream to die. If I go and run in Berlin, if I get a PB over there, I might genuinely go back to New York, break into the CIA, and take that whole thing down with Pamela Andy's assistance.
Really?
This is getting pretty Jason Bourne specific, but at least hopefully someone knows what I'm talking
about. I didn't get a PB. I got an E111.
My train seat the other day was E44, and I did a joke about the seat next to me being all covered in kind of cream.
Why is the other one next to me? It's so smooth.
Emollient. So play something from your device.
Okay, so I'm just going to press
I don't see how it can bang like my last tune, but yeah, go for it. Let's see what you've got.
That's not, that was just a motorbike going
by. Excuse you. Yeah, sorry. That's your own Cine balls going by.
Here we go. Is it up? Have you got?
Yeah. On FUBAR Radio. Yeah, actually, Rob Deering in for James Acaster, who's doing some catering, or is in catering. And that Mancunian misery came courtesy of Lloyd Griffith.
It was amazing, though, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. What was it? Give us the title.
It's called Elbow, Friend of Ours. Well, by Elbow, a song called Friend of Ours from Seldom Seen Kid, which weirdly I mentioned earlier on. And I think it's one of my favourite songs of all time.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's about one of their friends that passed away, and they wrote that, and it's just everything about it. You know, the little piano.
I really like Elbow, but I haven't got all the records or anything. I'm just kind of aware of them. But they seems to me that they're one of those bands who's unusually they've been allowed to grow into their greatest self as a band over time.
Yeah.
Which these days doesn't happen very often.
No, of course it doesn't, no. And you know, it's when they won the Mercury Music Prize that people really, you know, the outside world kind of like knew of them, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't really know of them until... I knew of them, but I didn't really know their music until I went to Glastonbury a few years back. And I'd had a few beers the night before, Rob, do you know what I mean?
What?
I like a few beers, mate, you know what I mean? And I was very hungover, and then they were playing on this Sunday afternoon, and I fell in love with Elbow, and I fell in love with Gary Garvey, and I got home, and I just downloaded all their music legally, and they're now one of my favourite bands, and I saw them the other week, a few months ago, at Hammersmith Apollo, and it just live, they're just incredible. Gary Garvey, I think, is the best frontman in the world.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I saw a band at Hammersmith Apollo and that changed my life, and they're also an incredible live band, and the front man, you know, really impressed me, and that was Flaming Lips.
Oh, really?
But I would love to be on at the Hammersmith Apollo myself. That's a good room.
Yeah, it's a good room, yeah. It's a nice room, do you know what I mean? But it was just, like, it's one of those ones where there's only a few gigs where I've been where everyone's just completely mesmerised by the person who's on stage. Elbow is one where... like everyone was just listening to every single word that he said, and then when he said join in, everyone joined in, because he's Dutch, that's why I did the Dutch accent.
The
other person that, and this was probably more like ridiculous, Gil Scott-Heron. Gil Scott-Heron, went to see him like before he passed away. I think he was at Somerset House.
He was better then.
Yeah, about 4 years 4 years ago, and it was one of the gig where it was outside. It was a music gig. I have never seen a whole gig of people just absolutely silent and just watching one man. It was incredible. It was absolutely amazing.
Another poet.
One bloke started piping up at the back. I think he was a media type. And some mod type was like, quick, big, baldy mod bloke was like, can you be quiet, please, mate? It's a gig, mate. Well, like, you're allowed to. He goes, not here, we're listening to Gilles Aaron. Will you be quiet, please? This bloke started like talking and took the mickey out of him from being bald. And then the bald bloke just punched him in the face. And everyone was like, he deserved that.
Yes.
We're trying to watch the music.
He had had his fair warning.
It was a weird little 5 minutes, that bit.
I sat, when I lived in Scotland in the mid-90s, I sat the night before Christmas Eve. I was flying home. My mum and dad had got me plane tickets, so I didn't sit in Scotland on my own like something like Midnight Cowboy. But the night before that, I was in the... in the Oyster Bar, yeah, having drinks with strangers, and there was this guy, Northern Irish guy in a suit called Eugene Nicholas Duffy, and he telling me about Gil Scott-Heron and how he carried the weight of black America on his shoulders. Yeah. And I've never forgotten Eugene Nicholas Duffy.
Yeah,
he was so full on, he may well have been fictional.
Have
I might
you checked
have
him on Facebook?
I haven't checked in with him.
Should do
I
it.
Should see if he's
you
tweeting
his full name. But Gil Scott-Heron, amazing, one of my favourite artists. But Elbow, arguably up there as well. I just absolutely love him. And that album, Seldom Seen Kid, has just got so many good songs. Grounds for Divorce, Loneliness of a Tower Crane Driver. I mean, it's easy.
Loneliness of a what?
Tower Crane Driver. But
yeah, because for a minute there, it sounded like you said cut.
It's a bonus track. That's right. A bonus track. It's just so many good songs on there.
Yeah.
So, if guys listening, if you haven't listened to Elbow, get a bloody grip and listen to Seldom Seen Kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all the other albums, which are really good.
And some of you are more perspicacious, would have heard the first 2 seconds of this song at the end of my last song, but let's still have it because it's really, well, it's lovely for a sunny day, isn't
lovely
it?
Lovely day.
Ooh, the Lars, there she goes. Okay, now that was coming in on here off a film compilation of songs from film soundtracks.
Ooh.
So, pub quiz question, what film soundtrack is that from?
There She Goes by the Lars. I think that was from Notting Hill.
It's a lovely guess. It's not right. I'll give you a clue. The film's got Mike Myers in it.
Is it Austin Powers?
No, you don't. It was actually So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, I don't know that film.
It was a good film. Funny film. Where's the look?
Not seen it.
Better than you'd think.
Not seen it. And I didn't even know existed.
Well, I can recommend it. It's got some good news. I want to quote it, but I'd be quoting one of the funny bits and spoiling it.
Oh, yeah.
Also, There She Goes is one of my favourite mashups I've ever done from Beat This.
Yeah.
Was There She Goes and another song. And I think I can show you what it was by doing this. Here we go. Up in the club, just broke up, and doing my own little thing. You decided to dip, and now you're on the trip, cause another brother noticed me. He up on me, I'm up on him, don't pay him any attention. He cried my tears, 3 long years, can't be mad at me. If you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. Don't be mad if another... Oh, it's just, change it down. So yeah, you get the idea with that.
Brilliant, well done.
Thanks very much.
I like it. I like your mashups.
There's some of them are horrific, and that's fun too.
That was the Lars. There She Goes, and Beyonce. If you like it, then you should put a ring on it.
Yeah, I need the name of the song if you're going to get both points.
There She Goes.
Yeah, you got that.
And then ring.
All the single ladies.
Oh, isn't it?
Oh, the single ladies. There's another good thing. If you go on your YouTube, there's an actress doing the lyrics of All the Single Ladies as a dramatic monologue, and it's just fantastic.
Is it good?
It's really superb.
I'll have a look, mate.
She pulls out a lot of drama.
I've got the internet, so I'll have a look.
Excellent. You got the Wi-Fi, you got the broadband.
I got the broadband.
Talking about what's going on around your house, right?
Yes,
it's
yeah.
Spring stroke summer. It's really beautiful, but yeah. You are, of course, a comedian.
Correct.
So there's a key question that affects all our lives at this time of the year, which is, okay, are you going to the Edinburgh Festival?
I am going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, yes.
So you're currently desperately trying to make up a new show?
I am.
Because you had a good one last year, didn't you?
I had a good one last year, thank you, mate. It was called Laurie Griffith, Voice of an Angel, Body of a Trucker.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time, enjoyed it. Lovely punters, and I didn't want to stop actually at the end of it. I kind of wanted to.
That's a very good
it.
Sign, isn't it?
But everyone else did want me to stop,
including the people you'd hide the room from and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Oh yeah, and literally everyone else. But this year I'm going back up with a new show called Lloyd Griffith. Great Grimsby's big turn on.
What, Grims? What?
Great Grimsby's Big Turn On. So Grimsby is actually called Great Grimsby.
Right, good.
And the Big Turn On. I got asked last September to switch on the Christmas lights in Grimsby. And I was over the moon. And
they're over the moon.
Wow. That
actually,
is amazing.
Can we go out? We're busy, aren't we? Can we go out and catch it and get ice lights? Yeah. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes, everyone.
Okay.
Oh, it's gone.
I got ice lights at Grimsby and I was over the moon until it turned out that I was eighth choice. And I was like, sod you. Sod you, the Grimsby Evening Telegraph. I mean, I'm being heckled by an ice cream van.
Yeah,
now.
That's right. That's okay. They can actually see it's pulling up over there. They've got all the classics. Mind that child.
So the ice cream van is called Stars and Stripes, which, if I'm honest, it's not a traditional name for a ice cream vendor.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
I'm actually really hungry at the moment as well, so that's annoying.
Well, if you could put your record on and we could... No. It's called Great Grimsby's.
Great Grimsby's Big Turn On, and it's about the other 6-7 chumps that got asked to turn on the lights ahead of me. It's about me proving to the world that I am better than them and they should ask me to switch.
Who's
the lights.
Who's Grimsby's into? Most famous son?
Or daughter, 2015, mate. Ella Henderson.
No, I was going to ask separately.
Oh, okay. at the moment, Kevin Clifton, who is one of the dancers from Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Who's, Thomas
yeah.
Turgoose, the actor, who's in This Is England.
Yeah, so you did something with him.
Yeah. Tom's a good mate of mine now. We presented the Grimsby Town Player of the Year Awards last week. Mm-hmm. We both gave ourselves awards as well. Who else? Guy Martin, even though he's not actually from Grimsby, he's from Kirmington. Guy Martin, you know, the speed guy, the big guy with the big mutton chops.
Ah.
Norris from
Coronation. And Ella Henderson, if we're going to women, let's look at Ella Henderson, daughters of Grimsby.
Ella Henderson, Patricia Hodge.
Ah.
Julie Peasgood.
Does she? I don't know who Judy is.
She was in Brookside in the 80s.
It's a joke about Peasgood. That's what I was going
Peasgood,
for.
Peasgood. Oh. Is Julie Peasgood?
He's ever so good. His friend's called him Easer and he's a mean geezer. He's ever so good. He's ever needs a good.
But she's she was in Brookside and she did the Bird's Eye pea adverts, which you probably know her from.
She probably got that because her name was Peasgood.
Yeah, and she's from Grimsby and Bird's Eye are based in Grimsby. So all for her, it was, a job come true.
Bird's Eye, Peasgood working for Bird's Eye, doing that's incredible.
Well done.
Where will they find us? Find us.
Find us. I've got a thing.
And so for people who are not interested in Grimsby, what is in your show to get those people in?
All sorts. I'm throwing enough feces at the wall and seeing what sticks.
And how is it going?
I've done like 4 or 5 previews and they've all been going really well. And excellent. I'm really enjoying doing it.
Where do you like to preview?
Where do I like to preview?
Yeah.
Genuinely, anywhere. I like taking it all over the country. I'm doing it like 3 or 4 times in London. And I think that's probably like the right amount.
That's
to do
about
in London,
right, yeah, good.
Because I think London can be quite tougher than the... I think you get a better... I think the suburbs are a bit more...
Open-minded?
Yeah, open-minded, yeah.
Or grateful that you turned up?
A bit of both. I like to do like 4 previews in London. I've got about 15, 17 in the diary. Is that all right?
That's I think that's perfect. Because the thing is, you can end up going on doing a tour of your show before you get to Edinburgh and you stop changing it.
Yeah.
So you get used to it and start doing it every night. You have to be really strict about writing it until you get to Edinburgh.
The kids are happy about the ice cream,
aren't
they?
Yeah, well, they would be. I mean, you know, oh, say, can you see? The thing with the previews, you need a few that are really judgmental. It's good practice for
Yes.
It's like cauterising the show.
Yeah. You need a few that'll go horribly wrong.
And you want them early on so you think, oh, that bit I thought was going to be great is not going to work.
Yeah.
But also, it's quite good late on when you know it's great or you really believe in it and then an audience decides against it.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to go, no, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
I'd do it like that.
But I'm looking forward to it and I'm, please come. I checked my sales last week. I've sold 15 tickets.
That's a good start. It's months away.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
So let's try and make it 20.
Yeah.
By the end of the day.
Ideally all on one day, if all it's going to be that many, rather than over weeks.
And that means I've got a third of a show sold.
And are you singing in the new show?
Obviously, mate. That's all I've got. Singing, dancing, impressions, drinking, flirting, everything. There's everything.
I saw you at a gig the other day, which was all proper singing. You were singing a bit of Purcell.
Yeah. What gig was that?
Well, I say gig.
Oh, yeah. It was the family music workshop. Yeah, the family music workshop. Yeah, I sang Purcell's music for a while. Music for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, he sang it for a while.
Yeah, I did. That was a tough gig, wasn't it?
Yeah, tough gig, tough crowd.
To a load of kids. But Justin Bieber.
I'm kind of hoping, I haven't asked you about your choral work, because I was hoping your shuffle would turn up something ridiculous that would get us started.
Well, it's as if it's fixed, and it genuinely isn't, but this next song is a choral. And with choral songs as well, Rob, I'm just going to I'm gonna press play, because they usually leave about 4 to 5 seconds of silence before a song, so I'm going to play it now.
And we'll just scratch our chins waiting.
And here we go.
Yeah, that was fading off, but then it kind of built back up, and I thought, we can't listen to that all day. Lovely, though. Really lovely. Lovely piece. What was it?
That was a song by Eric Whittaker called Thank You God for Most This Amazing Day. I mean, that doesn't make sense, but it's called Thank You God for Most This Amazing Day. Now, that's quite a modern choral song.
Mm-hmm.
It was performed by the Choir of Polyphony, directed by Stephen Layton.
You're not on that. That's not you.
No, I'm not on that, but I've got a few friends, I think, that are on that. So obviously I like choral music. I mainly like to listen to like Renaissance stuff, Baroque music. So kind of like anything.
I like rock. Love rock music.
Oh no, sorry, Baroque. So no,
I'm really confused now.
Baroque and roll is what I listen to, and that's next year's show title sorted. So like 15th, 16th, 17th century stuff. This one was from probably about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Written by a bloke called Eric Whittaker. Now, Eric Whittaker, if you Google him, very attractive man. I think like in his 40s, 50s, from...
Some men in their 40s can be attractive.
Yeah, some can. The men I know, I know you, mate.
Too late.
So Eric Whittaker was in a band that I think we're going to support Pink Floyd. Now, this bit might be... That might be something that might not be right, but, I mean, Google it. So he was in a high school, was in a band that apparently was going to support Pink Floyd. He really fancied this girl, and she was in the school choir. So he went to, like, impress her. So he joined the choir to, like, try and impress her. Walked into the auditions, and they were singing Mozart's Requiem. And he fell in love with Mozart's Requiem and decided to then, right, I'm going to drop the band. I'm going to start writing classical music. And then he took up music. And then that was it.
He had a proper moment. An epiphany.
But he's quite, as composers go, he's probably like the most rock and roll kind of like composer out there. You know what I mean?
I can't help but thinking that he just could have thought, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do, and kind of slipped that in the back pocket, and then still gone out with a girl and gone on tour with Pink Floyd and then done it like just 6 months later.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit baby bathwater there. There's a little bit, you know.
I think he's probably a lot richer than he would have been like supporting Pink Floyd.
You could have done both, though. And then he'd be in the pub now saying, I'll tell you what else I did. Supported Pink Floyd.
But a lot of his music, though, not that religious. That one obviously was, I think.
It sounded pretty religious.
But some of the stuff's brilliant. So if you like nice choral music, that's
Roger,
easy listening.
Roger Whittaker, yeah?
Eric Whittaker.
Roger Whittaker.
Roger Whittaker. Pink Lloyd. Roger Whittaker with Pink Lloyd. So listen to that. But if you like easy listening choral music, then Eric Whittaker.
That
is
was
your,
nice because you know we, you,
that's
good.
A breakup,
we wanted, we needed something choral because you're here and it seems appropriate. And it, that was really nice. It was accessible.
Thank
and
you,
yet
mate.
I wonder if my next tune is going to take us back to some Mancunian misery. I think it might. Always, that was good. Atmosphere by Joy Division, as opposed to Atmosphere by Russ Abbott, which wouldn't have been nearly as welcome, not to me anyway.
Yeah, I love Joy Division.
Me too. And I tell you, you know, you're talking about sort of getting older with songs like that. I don't know why I wasn't all over Joy Division when I was a teenager. I think maybe because I was all over The Cure, and they were based, to some extent, sorry, The Cure, they were a Joy Division rip-off band. Certainly the stuff that I loved, those first few albums that before they got really famous. But it means that I can really enjoy Joy Division now.
Yeah.
Because I knew which songs were good then, but now when I hear them, I'm like, oh, it's like I'm hearing it all for the first time.
So I saw The Cure at Festival, I think. Did I?
Yeah. That seems very possible.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
And they were good, but like they weren't that, you know, they weren't as we've heard them earlier.
Well,
on.
I think that Robert Smith is a great pop writer, and he always wishes that he was a great serious. He's become a really good serious misery music writer, but his skill is all in Hooks and Boys Don't Cry and Why Can't I Be You and all that stuff. The Love Cats.
Yeah.
I don't think it's who he wanted to be, but that's who he is. Bad luck, Robert.
He's probably made a bit of money from it, though.
Yeah, I think he's okay with it.
I'd be all right with that, mate.
I grew up on him. I'm being very mean to, like, the you know, I couldn't. There's no me without 6 years of Robert Smith back in the day. And I met him very briefly. I say met him. God, it's been a name-dropping old show, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And another famous person I once went very, very near. But I went to Jules Holland once, and The Cure were on, and I just shook his hand for my 16-year-old self's sake.
Really?
In the present day, I wasn't particularly comfortable with him, and I didn't really like the songs they were playing.
Oh, really?
But teenage me.
But you told him that, yeah?
Nearly cried. Okay. Yeah, I said, this is for someone who doesn't exist anymore. I think you're rubbish.
I'll tell you what, mate, go back to Josh Room. Just have a little think about what you just done.
Yeah, he's a little bit old now for that look.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Mop up, get it trimmed.
Little Edward Scissorhands kind of like.
Yeah, that's right. Tim Burton's got the same thing. You know, yeah. Brilliant. We see where you're coming from, but, you know, just have a look at your birth
certificate. You can look awful at the school gates, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Have yourself a little trim.
See, when Dave Gilmore from Pink Floyd cut his hair short, fantastic.
Yeah.
Could have done it sooner or later.
Oh, but we'll look back at our look back in, you know, in 20 years' time. We'll look, oh, can you remember when you had that fringe?
Well, that sticky uppy bit at the front, but you've got to have it while you can.
You've got to have it while you can, do you know what I mean?
And I'm grey. I'm okay with it.
I'm clinging on for dear life, mate.
I get a bit of grief from my grey. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, mate, for Silver Fox, isn't it?
Yeah, it might not be George Clooney, but I'm pushing Roger Sterling.
Are you?
Yeah.
He was carer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, have you lined something up?
Yeah, well, I'm literally just pressing right.
Because you know, the rule on this show is it has to be random, it has to come from your iPod, and it has to be by a band from the Northwest.
I mean, I'm not even joking. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, hit us. Everybody's looking, you've got the trouble of everyone's eyes, including mine.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, this is Rob Deering in for James Acaster, and that was the Arctic Monkeys played by Lloyd Griffith. What song was that?
Still Take You Home.
Yeah, that's north rather than northwest, but lovely.
I'd still say Sheffield, Virgin on the northwest.
I'm thinking...
No, central. That's actually central.
Yeah, and also M6 goes to the northwest, M1 goes to the north.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and then you go past the north, you get to the northeast.
But I do think that
then you get to Scotland, but we might not be allowed in.
Sheffield does have a northwest style accent, I think.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, accent wise, but also Sheffield, in and of itself, has an incredible, always great music, and that real good, a real specific poetic sense of humour.
Oh, it's all brimmed out of the lead mill, mate, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and yeah. You know, you got your Pulp.
Stop me there, mate.
Yeah.
So my other half is a big Pulp fan, as am I.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Waitrose, not showing off, in Westfield.
Well, sorry, if this is going to be a name drop, I think we should have a moratorium.
So what does that mean?
It means we're not going to do it anymore. Is this going to be you and a famous person in Westfield?
Yeah.
Was it Chipmunk?
No, it wasn't. Basically, we walked in and Dole's a massive...
Is it Vivi Brown?
No, we haven't seen her. Can we just make sure she's still alive? And I walked in and I was like, oh, that man that's just walked in front of us is Jarvis Cocker.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Jarvis lives in Shepherd's Bush because I used to live around the corner from him.
He used to stalk him for a while, didn't he?
I just used to pick up his dog poo. And I go, sorry, Mr. Cocker, you drop this. I'll put it in the middle for you.
Do you know what kind of dog he's got?
It's Cocker Spaniel.
That's right.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah, thank you. It's me and you working together. So you're in Waitrose.
In Waitrose. And then so I said to me, lady, I was like, why did you go and speak to him? I can't. I was like, you love him. You absolutely love him. You love his desert island disc. Go over there and speak to him. And then she went over. Was like, and then she did have a little chat to him over the pasta. And she was like, oh, just, you know, I'm a big fan. But I mean, and I just read the article today that said that it might be the Greece's finance minister's daughter that is the girl that had a thirst for knowledge.
That he took to a supermarket.
And he's like, is that true? He went, it's not, no, sorry. He went, I could see why they thought that, because we've got a connection, but it's not. And he went, no, only one person's ever got it right. Some bloke came up to me at a pub, showed me a photo of this girl. He went, is this her? And he went, yeah, it is. He went, secret safe for me, mate. Walked off. So this is story
that's
going
really
around.
Good.
This is story that I think it was in the Independent this last week that it said, "Oh, I think it's Greece's finance minister's daughter that is who he talks about, or wife." So yeah, that was going around. So and then we managed to speak to him on the day it happened. And
I
then,
think it's brilliant to see someone who sang about a supermarket in a supermarket. I mean, supermarket. That's like checking into the Hotel California with the Eagles, so or then, going to meeting Tanita Tikaram at the top of the cathedral,
or going to Ibiza with the Venga Boys. All up there.
Yeah, or meeting in a Spanish castle with Jimi Hendrix. Although it's not really in Spain, but all the same, yeah. It's a groovy name.
Or going to
going to the Arctic with the Arctic Monkeys.
Or going to Scotland with the Proclaimers. No.
Yeah.
Whatever. So anyway, so spoke to him, and then I took a few photos of my other half.
This is before the restraining order then?
Yeah, before the restraining order, and now she got a tag on. And she was referring to him which pastor to use. So yeah, it was quite. I went past and took a few photos, and she put it on like Facebook. And
he is. We obviously love music. And we like all kinds of pop stars, but the man is—he's a legend. He's one of those. He'd been one of my dinner party guests.
Oh yeah, even now. I mean, it's just so good. I like listening to him on. Obviously, FUBAR is my favourite radio station, but after that, it's Radio 1, and then it's Six Music.
Right, so basically, what you're here to do is talk about famous people that you've seen and other radio stations.
Yeah, but I just want people to know that I want people to go, oh, he does this guy, what's his name? Lloyd Griffith. He knows quite a lot of famous people, doesn't he?
And yeah.
I don't know them, Jimmy, but you know.
And you think you're better than them because this Grimsby Chipmunk thing, you don't want to be.
No, I do think I'm better than them.
Yeah. I'm going to Scunthorpe soon.
Tiny Temper's never been there.
I'm going to put the Hawp into Scunthorpe.
Okay. Right, yeah. It's the.
Right.
Are you doing a gig there?
Yes, the
Thursday
Bath
night
Halls.
Gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the foyer. I've done that. Oh, that would have boast,
the first time I did that gig,
times.
They lit it. It was the most dramatically low-angled lighting I've ever done. So my shadows, my two or three shadows, were all about 18 feet high and behind me, like they were all going to bend down and eat me up. Like an old Fred Astaire special effects sequence.
But it's quite nice, though. They've sorted it out, haven't they?
It's really nice to go. It's always.
My mates run it. Because it's just down the road from Grimsby, isn't it? So,
yeah, of course.
I'm doing that next in July. If anyone's wondering, 24th of July.
Is that when I'm going? Oh, maybe we're going there together.
Are you?
It'd be nice.
Are you actually?
I don't know. We'll look it up. We'll look it up while we're playing this next song, and we'll tell you. I'm going to play another. We need to play some more songs because neither of us have played anything excruciating yet.
No, I'm scared that.
I don't know what's coming next. This is my next one. Here it comes. Ooh, The Who with Bubba O'Reilly. The Who are playing headlining Glastonbury now, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
I read an article. That was a great song. I enjoyed that a lot. I wish that had played in the marathon. I've had that. But I read an article when I was in Australia, and it was an article in the paper complaining about bands who can still tour without all the key members. And they were complaining about Hot Chocolate touring without late, great Errol Brown, you know, when he was still alive and stuff. But they were complaining about The Who. And touring without all the original members. And all the original members of The Who are alive, are still perform with The Who. I think that's the most you can ask.
Yeah.
For all the living members of a band to be on the stage. I thought it was slightly unreasonable.
What more do you want?
Yeah. Where is Keith Moon?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think they'll have to mention anything at the beginning either, will they? Do you know what I mean? Go, guys, Keith wanted to be here tonight.
Yeah, particularly a few decades ago when he knew that it was a thing. But, The Who are another one of those bands. When I was in probably the best band I was in as a teenager, my good friend and the lead singer was a huge Who fan. He was all over The Who. And it didn't mean anything to me. And now I get it. They're great. And they talk about them being the greatest live band in the world, like around the sort of late, I don't know, I suppose turn of the 70s, and you think, oh, it's just something you say, and then you look at the stuff they were doing, and they were so good. So I still think they're going to be amazing even now.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, they are obviously a cult band, as you know. But
well, the Cult are very good as well.
they're a cult band. And there are certain bands that you kind of get into, and you, after you've listened to, you know, like 9-1-1, and you know, kind of the trashy.
That was my phone.
Oh dear. Yeah. But yeah, like Who are obviously like a band that it's always cool to listen to them as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm alright with The Who. I mean, not my fave, but I'll take them.
Yeah.
If you're saying take it or leave it, I'll bloody take The Who, mate.
Yeah, you're gonna leave it though, aren't you? I mean, I just played Bubba O'Reilly, which is like this enormous song, and you're giving me I'm getting a bit of they're alright off you. I mean, what do you want? It's like me saying, I've just given you Christmas, and you're like, yeah, but could I have a biscuit? You know,
give me Epiphany.
Yeah. I'm not going to bother touring with Pink Floyd.
What's the next festival?
I'm going to sing.
I love Christmas. I genuinely do love Christmas. Gives me lots of time to sing Christmas carols. Favourite Christmas carol? Do you have one?
Yeah, don't sing any though. It's bad luck. Go on. Names,
I won't say it. I don't know. What is it? Coventry Carol.
Oh, yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Still. Is really good. As in still, so silence.
Yeah.
That's sung by Bryn Terfel. I like an incredibly heartbreakingly sad Christmas song.
Yeah.
So in the bleak midwinter, still. I like to listen to Kate Bush's This Woman's Work at Christmas.
Corpus Christi Carol. Jeff Buckley covered that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Guys, you're singing it. I told you not to sing Christmas songs. It's bad luck.
Oh, okay.
I was pretty strict on that.
Producer just got a gun out and is aiming at me. Really? Yeah. Well, it's bulletproof glass.
Well, this is the bad luck. It's your fault. You put it on yourself.
Bulletproof glass. So,
I always worry that a Christmas song is going to come out.
I have got Christmas songs on here, but I've got no idea what
could happen. Well, players, what have you got next? Okay, you've got time for a couple more. Let's hear it.
Oh God, this is awful. So we're going to have commentary on this, and we won't be able to play the full thing because.
Explain yourself quickly.
Do you know what this song is?
Yeah, it's Let's Wait a While by Janet Jackson.
No, it's not.
That's what it sounds like.
So,
okay, let it play. What is it? Holding Back the Years by Simply Red.
Karaoke version.
Ah, okay.
So not even the main version.
Well, you've got to sing it.
Fears I've had so long.
Holding. No.
Oh. Should we stop it there? Because, I mean, that's probably more Simply Red karaoke for anyone.
Yeah, that was disastrous.
Anyone.
It was really, really awful.
I guess the reason I've got to explain that track, I had it on there because I had that in my show last year in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Because it was the first song that I... There's a girl that I was in love with at school called Lauren Sturgeley. She's now married, but I'm absolutely fine with that. I fancied her, and this is the first song that I slow danced with her too. I mean, whatever. I'm getting all flustered.
You slow danced up to her.
We slow danced, and I thought it'd be a really good idea because I was head chorus at the time to sing the lyrics in her ear, and it wasn't. It really wasn't, and she never spoke to me for 4 years. So I did a.
You scared her off, didn't you?
I did scare her off. In my Edinburgh show, I danced with a man on stage and sang that into his ear. So hence why I needed the karaoke version.
Yeah.
So that again, I guess is like a bit of a weird one, a cringe one.
It was wonderful. Give me the thing so I can play a proper song.
That is a proper song. Can I say I absolutely adore Simply Red.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I love Simply Red.
Well, no one was going to disagree with you on that.
I think he's an amazing singer, and I think his songs are incredible.
I don't warm to him as a man. In interviews and things.
Okay, we'll get a sex change and then warm to him as a woman because that is how most people like him. He has cavorted with a lot of females.
Yeah, according to him.
According to a lot of females, thank you. Do not badmouth the Hucknall. He is a great singer.
I'm gonna.
He's a good looking man. And
he's happily sacked everyone in his band.
Yeah.
And likes a little dim sum.
Happily sacked every woman in the word. When the world.
You don't have to read that note. Are you going into reverie about Mick Hucknall's sex life? Right, I'm going to play another record so we can escape the nightmarish memory of you mumbling that song into some
you,
poor woman, poor distant
I'll
woman's
keep
ear.
Holding
were you actually
on.
Holding on to her singing?
Oh,
I'll
yeah,
keep
I was
holding
for,
on.
For dear
that's
life,
absolutely
yeah.
terrifying. Yeah.
And then she's like, let go.
You didn't feel any body language, a kind of rigidity, she was having some kind of spasm.
The headmaster had to come over at Lloyd, let go of her, please.
I'll keep holding on. Yeah. I'll keep holding, holding! Holding!
I'm not sure if you ever got detention from school disco, but I managed to do that.
I don't think it's called a detention.
Okie dokie.
it's you've used the wrong phrase.
What have you got?
I haven't got one of those. Anyway, no. Yeah, this is good. Here we go.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, we were really singing along to that, weren't we?
We were giving it a right good old...
We were both giving it the high notes.
I think once we got into the karaoke mode, we are now thinking, right, well, I'm going to sing to everything.
Do you think, could we slip round the corner to a karaoke bar somewhere? Do you want to?
Yeah, definitely.
What would you sing?
I like to sing Charles and Eddie, Would I Lie to You? That's my favourite karaoke song of choice. Would I lie to you, baby? Would I lie? I do like to sing Smith songs at karaoke.
Yes.
Because everyone's there to be, oh, look, guys, let's have a really good, happy time. And I'm like, and I'm just there, like, being all depressing.
Yeah, good.
Oh, mother.
Good, because that's a long one and really miserable. And if you do it properly, you're slightly sharp at the end.
I just can't think of any Smith songs today. I don't know why, I have a bit of a blank.
Heaven knows the miserable now would be the
I had a glass of Prosecco at 11 o'clock today. Yeah. So maybe that's why.
That might be it, yeah. You incredible really, badass.
I really like Prosecco at the moment.
It's good stuff.
We have to talk about drinking on there, but I do.
You can talk about what you like, it's food bar.
But yeah, I really like Prosecco at the moment.
It's good stuff, lovely stuff.
I was in Italy last week. And I brought a little batch back with me.
So it's the good stuff. I was in a delicatessen in Italy.
Show off, mate.
And I was looking at some nice local wines and they had different labels and stuff. And I went to the counter and said, excuse me, do you speak English? And the lady said, yes. I said, what's the difference between these two wines? And she said, that one's red and that one's white. And this was the difference that I'd failed to perceive. That's the difference they have between wines here in England. And then, whilst trying to front out the embarrassment and own it and be cool, I literally fell backwards over some crates. It was the most embarrassing 45 seconds of my life.
Crikey.
That's including the time I inadvertently took my pants off before Music and Movement.
I, last week in Italy, ate 6 cheese sandwiches in one day.
It's like that's a bit like that was the original sandwiches. Lyrics to the Crowded House song.
What was it? What was
6
it?
Cheese sandwiches in one day.
I do these things mainly because I'm fat. But I remember a bit. So
I used to be fat.
I used to be. Then I got thin, and then I got fat again. I was on tour, doing gigs with Rob Becker. I used to do his tour support. We were doing some gigs earlier this year, and we went out, and it was about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had a few drinks, and I was eating a pizza. And Rob just looked at me and went, how many pizzas you had today? And I realised it was 3. I had 3 pizzas in
you've
one day.
You've got to look into that
but
stuff.
I do love...
3 pizzas in one day. Well, you've been... I want to just say, you've been a lovely guest. Thanks for being on with me.
Thank you.
I'm Rob Deering here instead of James Acaster. He's back next week. He's back!
Likely story,
And thank you for your lovely music. My music came off really well. You played some wonderful songs and a couple of really terrible ones, which I enjoyed a lot. Good luck with you. Tell me the title of your new show again.
Show is called Great Grimsby's Big Turn On.
Lloyd Griffith. And you're Lloyd Griffith on Twitter.
I am at Lloyd Griffith on Twitter.
And you can follow Rob Deering on Twitter. He is an attorney in San Diego. So that'll be fun for both of you. I'm on there as well, but it's Deering and Rob.
It's the other way around.
Tune in like in the old days of the radio. Hear James Acaster next week. Thanks very much. Play your song.
Can I just
play it now.
Now.
Thank you.